And ladies and gentlemen, I think this is might have been the first time that we had a color guard at our committee meeting that I know of. But I want to thank the Post 428 Color Guard for presentation of the colors. And thank you for what they do for us. And the committee legislative assistant has taken the role. A quorum is present. And I will entertain a motion. Representative Poston, would you...
Mr. Chair, I have reviewed the minutes. They're in good shape, and I'd like to move them.
Thank you. Reverend Poston has moved the minutes of March 5th meeting. Is there any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The minutes of March 5th meeting has been approved. First, I'd like to welcome all the veterans who have traveled here from around the state for the Veterans Day on the Hill. I hope that you've had a great day, and of course the day isn't over, meeting with your legislators and talking about the veterans' issues that are important to you. And I would like to, as chair of the Veterans Committee and the chair of the division, my goal is to hear and help secure passage of bills. And we hear all the bills that come before the committee. And this is a nonpartisan, or I could say a bipartisan, nonpartisan committee, and we hear the bills here, and we make sure that the bills that we hear are good for our veterans community, and we send them off to different committees. And I know that with your support, we've been able to enact a number of bills, pieces of legislation the last 4 years. And I know back in the 2015-16, I think there's handouts on those bills at the table you can pick up. There's 18 pieces of legislation that we passed. And in the 2017 session, we passed a total of 30 bills that we passed, and we got to the governor's desk, and the governor signed them. And I would like to just go around the room, and as I point to a section, and I know we have people from all over the state. If you are part of a group, could someone from the group just stand up and tell us where you're from? Thank you. Starting over here.
Yes, we're from Northeast Minnesota. And it would be Douglas County, Cook County, over in Cloquet, Carlton County, Pine County.
Okay. Is there anybody else from a different area? There you go.
We got Chapter 18. We got the American Legion and the PFW, Carlton County.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay.
We're from Aiken, Minnesota, Aiken County. We represent the VAA Chapter 11. We also represent the VFW Post 1737. We also represent the American Legion Post on Aiken, and we have 48 of our members here to see to get the committee that what you do goes before the legislation to actually pass the bill. We're not so interested in committee work. Thank you.
You're always welcome to come to committees, though. Somebody else? Yes.
John Flores, American Veterans, AMVET, St. Paul, Minnesota.
Okay. Hey, welcome. Welcome. Anybody else from there? Okay, go ahead.
Palmer Lake, VFW, Brooklyn Park, Minnesota.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else?
Les Schatz, Fremont County, Olmsted County, Dodge County.
Thank you. Welcome. Welcome. Anybody else from a different area?
Chapter 23 from Virginia, Minnesota.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else over there from a different area? Okay, we'll switch over here.
Russ Mills from Emily, Minnesota, Cross Lake Legion 500, Vice Chairman of Minnesota Homeless and Wounded Warriors. Works with veterans all across the state.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Okay, thank you.
I'm Andrew Peters, the mayor of Payson and committee. I represent, we have Representative of Lake City, Legion Post 110, and VFW 8729.
Thank you.
Randy Olson, American Legion, representing this post in our district for Martin County, Bloor County, and Federal County.
Thank you. Yes. Where are you from?
Preston.
Preston, okay. Where's Preston?
It's a fine community.
Mr. Chair.
Wisconsin.
Dick Farm, Monticello,
4250, Wright County.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am.
American Legion Auxiliary, Norfolk County, from the Warren Unit 25.
Thank you. Welcome. Yes.
Tony Hanson, Post 149, Morristown, from Waseca Steel Company.
Welcome. Yes, ma'am. Or ma'am. Ma'am, ma'am. Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay.
Welcome. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. Any others? Any others? Yes, sir.
Yes, I'd be dismissed if I didn't introduce as far as 8th District American Legion, Post 71.
Okay.
And that's up in northeast Minnesota as well.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. As we can see, we have people from all over the state, and there's others that are meeting with their legislators also in different areas of the Capitol and over at the Senate building. And as I mentioned, we passed a lot of pieces of legislation over the last 4 years. And I think a big one that people are still talking about, not only in Minnesota but from other states also, is that the most notable one is when we passed got exclusion of the military retirement pay from state income taxes, and which passed in 2016. And this is a big piece of legislation that we were finally able. It took 17 years. I apologize, but we finally got it done. And thank you. Thank you. Now there are handouts, as I mentioned before, on the table, and. As I mentioned on the rotunda today at the Capitol, is that if we keep working together and we keep speaking in one voice, I think we've learned, you know, that you got the nine different federal chartered organizations under the Commander's Task Force. You got those nine organizations. If we keep working on some of these issues that deals with the veterans and their families, and we speak in one voice, we're going to continue on going forward. And we have some good legislation that we're going forward this year, and we have some bills that we're going to be talking about today. I think another big one that we're going to be working on that won't be talked about today is in terms of reducing the charitable gambling tax that we have going on in a lot of our charitable gambling organizations, the VFW and Legions and the Lions Clubs and so forth, the sports clubs around the state. This is something that, in fact, the bill is in the tax bill right now, and this is something that we're going to continue working on also, because that's a big issue for a lot of our Legions and VFWs. Am I correct on that?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Let's go right into the bills. One of the bills that I should talk about is House File 368. It prohibits the assignment of military pay and benefits. We passed the bill out of the House Veterans Division last year and has been making its way through the committee process. The House version of the bill cleared the final committee hurdle last week, and we'll receive the second reading on the House floor this afternoon. And we'll continue to push to make this a great initiative law this year. And we are also working on the 8-year limit tax exclusion on the surviving spouse. That's a bill that we're going to be discussing today, and because that is one of the, I think that's one of the priorities for our Commander's Task Force as we go forward. We'll be hearing the bill that removes that 8-year limit, as I mentioned, and allows a one-time change in residence on the committee today. And following the adjournment of today's committee, I encourage you to attend the House floor session. That's at 3:30 today, this afternoon, and sit in the gallery. And at the start of the session, I will be doing the opening prayer and have a special prayer to honor our men and women, veterans who have served and are currently serving in our country. Thank you again, veterans, for coming to the Capitol for the Veterans Day on the Hill, and for attending the different hearings and going to see your legislators. And are there any questions or comments by the members on the committee? I know You've gone to the different meeting rooms, and you've been able to talk to some of the veterans, the men and women. Any thoughts or anything that stuck out for you as committee members? Yes, Representative Lewitt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just, again, want to recognize that whole bunch of folks from our area that took a day off and came down on the bus. And if I heard the number right, was it like 40? From the Aiken 48, and that's our VFW, American Legion, Disabled Vets, and the auxiliary with that. So, again, I know that was that's a long ride down here, and I really want to thank everybody for taking the time out to do that.
Representative Lewis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I want to acknowledge, I don't know if there's anyone in the room from here, but American Legion Post 1975, the newest Legion Post, probably the youngest, too, and the highest percentage of those that are still serving. And my post, of which I'm a member, has been very active, and I don't know all you know throughout the state are familiar with Post 1975, but they're doing great work right here in St. Paul. A couple members visited me today, because there's a certain percentage of the post that's still deployed currently, many of them couldn't be here today, but they send their regards and they appreciate all the work that all of you have done before them to make sure our country stays free. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lewitt. Anybody else? Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like to say thank you from, I'm sure, all of us at the committee and everybody at the state to the families and to the auxiliary and everybody who supports our veteran members. Great organizations, and having time away from your families is tough, and the sacrifice that the family members give so that everybody can serve is great and vast, not only while they're serving, but should they come back with some type of an injury or something to that effect. So just always remember those people in our prayers. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Frank. And the other day I had Justin, my L.A., just sent out an email to all the legislators to see who have served in the military. And I have a list of 14 legislators that have served. And I think it's just I'd like to share their names with you. And these are legislators that have served like most of you have. Myself, Representative Bliss, Representative Eklund, Representative Miller, Representative Russell, Representative Grunhagen, Representative Lewick, Representative Calabar, Representative Saki, Senator Bruce Anderson, Senator Jasenki, Senator Relf, and Senator Lang, and Senator Newton. Those are the ones that I have a record of that have served. So make sure Representative Lesh, you have served too.
I didn't do a very good job. So.
I apologize, President Lesh. Did I miss anybody else? So that's 15. 15. Okay. Great. And Representative Howell, that's 16. Okay, there we got it. See, people, they have to read their emails, though. Then I'll give them credit. I'll give them credit. Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'm wondering if you had asked how many of us have sons or daughters that have served. I have a son that's active. He's an Army reservist, but they're getting ready to head out. So I think there's even more of us that
yes.
Very closely tied, and you talked about the families being left behind.
That's right.
When and if he deploys, I'll be taking care of two little grandbabies. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Representative O'Neill. You know, that's another thing, the families. I know when I was deployed for 2 years after 9/11, for the reserve and the national for the reserve component, the National Guard, a lot of times there was no family support. You know, when you're part of the active component, you're at a base, and you have that family support right there. And that is changing, by the way, for the Guard and the Reserve, is that we are the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program that we have now, and the support. I know my wife had to start a family support group out of our American Legion Hall, and sending packages. Those packages are really, really important when they come in the mail. So But I think we have a great Minnesota is a great place to serve, and I think it's just getting greater by the year. Let's get into our bills that we're going to be having hearings on here. The first bill today in the agenda is the House File 3507. Representative Lewick, please come to the table with your testifiers. Welcome, Representative Luke. Would you move your bill before the committee?
And thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would move House File 3507 before the committee, and I believe it can go to the register if it passes muster here.
That's correct. Representative Bill, your bill is before us, and it's going to be re-referred to the general register. And please tell us about your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and committee members. 3507 would simply add a little spot to note whether a person is a veteran or not on a form that we use, that Secretary of State's office uses. We've got about 200 state boards where the governor, various commissioners, agency heads make appointments that citizens serve on. And there's a whole big section in the middle of that that asks on a voluntary basis information, if you want to tell somebody your age, your gender, your background. What we don't have on there right now is an opportunity to note whether you're a veteran or not. And so what we've asked is if the Secretary of State could adjust that form so that you, on a voluntary basis, could provide that information. The real purpose for that is simply we want to know, you know, as best we can, where our veterans are, what they're doing. We track all kinds of other important information as a state in that manner. It's all voluntary. And with that, I think the Secretary of State do a much, much more eloquent job of explaining what we're trying to do. It simply adds two words to about four pages. You'll look in the bill, you know, veteran status. So you get a four-page bill, and it's just a tiny little change, but it would give us the opportunity to, on a voluntary basis, record that data, and then we can look at it and see what it tells us.
Yeah, Secretary Simon, welcome to the committee. Please introduce yourself and for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Steve Simon, Minnesota Secretary of State. Members, I just want to thank you, Mr. Chair, in particular, and your staff, and I want to thank Representative Lewick for carrying this bill. I think it's overdue. Many members might know that one of the functions we have in our office is we run the intake portion of the open appointments process. We don't make the appointments. That's typically for the governor or some executive agency, but we run the intake process for them. So, as Representative Lewick said, we have hundreds of boards, commissions, panels, working groups, et cetera, and there are appointments, and people apply, and we have an online system. You can do it on paper. And by statute, we ask several things. Some are the mandatory pieces, name, address, the obvious things. But we also have a section for optional information where people are invited, if they choose, to reveal their gender, age, disability, political affiliation, race, etc. But there has been no space there for anyone to disclose, if they want to, whether they're a veteran. Okay. We strongly support this. We think it's relevant information, it's useful information, and interesting information. It's also consistent with what we've done in our office in a different part of our office. Many of you know that we do the business intake as well, so we have a lot of commercial filings and business filings with our office, and we now have something called the Minnesota Business Snapshot, where we invite all new and renewing businesses to provide five different pieces of information about themselves if they care to. They don't have to, but they can, and so far 230,000 businesses have. And the very reason we started doing it was because of a meeting that we had, that I had, over 3 years ago with someone from a military service organization. The whole thing started from this meeting. And he approached me, and he said, why can't veterans, when they start a business, why isn't there some box that they can check to simply disclose that this is a veteran-owned business? I said, you're right. That's a good idea. Let's do it.
Yeah.
So we've done it. So this is consistent with that, and that's why we support the bill. Hopefully it's not controversial. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Secretary, Is there any cost to this bill to your office or to the state, to the taxpayers? Is there any cost to what we're doing with this legislation?
Mr. Chair and members, no. No cost.
Okay. I like to hear that. So, any questions from the committee? Rep. Luke, any closing remarks?
I just like to thank Secretary Simon, first of all. Really, really appreciate his part in this. And as some of the folks say, brevity is our friend here. We've got a lot of other business to do, so I just thank all the members and ask that we move this forward to the register. Thank you.
And are there any other questions from the galley, gallery about this bill? I should have asked that earlier. If not, Representative Lewick renews his motion to that House File 3507 be referred to the General Register. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails, and the House File 3507 is referred to the General Register. The next bill on the agenda is House File 3477. Representative Bliss, come to the table with your testifiers. And if the I think there's one more chair that we could use. The page could maybe get another chair there. And Representative Bliss, would you like to move your bill before the committee? There is a and be re-referred to Government Operations Committee.
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would like to move my bill.
Representative Bliss, your bill is before us. Please tell us about your bill.
My bill is to allow cities and counties by resolution to declare themselves Purple Heart cities or counties. And this would allow the placement of a Purple Heart recipient parking spot reserved in front of municipal buildings and county buildings. So I'm going to turn it over to the representatives of the Military Order of the Purple Heart for their explanation. And thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Yeah. Chairman. My name is Bob Connor. I'm the legislative chair for the Military Order of the Purple Heart. I'm here along with my department commander, Willie Pargo, and another one of my chapter members, David Bellis. Both are Vietnam veterans. And we also have here City Council member Terry Parks from Brooklyn Park City Council. And Brooklyn Park just recently became a Purple Heart City. And I'm going to ask Mr. Commander Pargo to say a few words of thanks, since he happens to be a resident of Brooklyn Park.
Okay. Welcome. Please introduce yourself for the record.
My name is Willie Pargo. I'm the commander for the Military of the Purple Heart, Department of Minnesota. And I'm very thankful to be involved in the proclamation to make St. Paul a Purple Heart City and to be a resident of Brooklyn Park. It was an honor to make Brooklyn Park a Purple Heart City, the first Purple Heart City in Hennepin County, and we just got started.
Please proceed.
My name is Terry Parks. I am on the City Council and Mayor Pro Tem of Brooklyn Park. I'm the one that brought it forward to that. We were sitting at work one day talking to my boss, which is David Bellis, in the back, and we were talking about Purple Heart and Purple Heart cities. We are the first ones in Hennepin County to become that. We do have a parking spot right up front for Purple Heart, and people are honoring that and not parking there if they're not Purple Heart, which is great. Brooklyn Park is home of Palmer Lake VFW 3915. We're also home of the 347th Regional Support Group, and one of our most famous residents, John Holquist, is sitting right up front next to you. I want to read something, if I could, just in closing. By I want to encourage other cities and counties to take on this Purple Heart. Actually, this group, we got together. They made up the proclamation. We just kind of modified it for our own city, and we have it in our foyer as you walk into the City Hall. But I too, am a member of the VFW. I served 72 to 76 with the Navy Seabees, which is probably the best unit, I believe, right? Okay, so I found this this saying, I have done things that haunt me at night so you can sleep in peace. I have been away from my family long so you that you can be safe. I have sacrificed a lot in my life so that you may live free. I have done these things because I have sworn an oath to my country, and I will live by this oath until the day I die, because I am always and will be a U.S. veteran.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. And I know I have a couple questions here. I know that there's no cost to become a Purple Heart city, because I think the Purple Heart organization also provides a signage for coming into a town and leaving a town, or the parking signs. Could you kind of give us a little information on that?
Yes, Mr. Chair. For the city of Brooklyn Park, we provided the parking sign. It's voluntary, but you can be assured that wherever in the state, our Purple Heart will be supported, both financially and with our voices.
And some questions. May Quadi?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Bliss, I just saw you this morning. I didn't know you had a great bill before our committee. I'm glad to see you. My grandfather was a World War II vet. He was actually in Pearl Harbor when it was bombed. And I think of he was a Purple Heart recipient, and I think of him a lot because he's kind of a Minnesota kid, right? He was born in Hibbing, and then he lived in Aurora and Hoyt Lakes, and he took his path through through Minneapolis-St. Paul to leave. And so I'm wondering if maybe we could become a Purple Heart state. I would love for all our Purple Heart vets to have a place anywhere they want in a county or a city, regardless of whether that city or county has gone through the process. So just a thought. Yeah?
That idea has been entertained to make this a Purple Heart state. So we're working on it.
I'm with you.
Thank you. Representative O'Driscoll.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I like the idea. I like it a lot. The only question I have is, why do we need state authorization? Wouldn't the county and the cities have control over their own properties to be able to sign it as they wished with the signage?
Testifier?
Yeah, and basically what we're doing is we're encouraging other cities and counties to do this. We didn't need any permission from anybody from the state to do what we did to become a Purple Heart city, and it cost us nothing. So except the vote.
And Representative O'Driscoll, I think what we're doing, just putting maybe as a state taking it on and making it something that we feel as a state is important. I think bringing it to attention to everybody, and that maybe people out there don't know that we can do this.
Mr. Chair.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Mr. Chair,
yes.
When we got proclamation for to make St. Paul a Purple Heart City, we had the governor sign. We got the governor to sign for Purple Heart, St. Paul, since it's the capital.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Yes. Representative O'Driscoll.
Yeah, I'm probably thinking of the next committee stop, which is the committee I chair from the government operations standpoint. That's why I brought that question forward, because I know that that's going to come up in government operations. So it's good that we got a chance to talk about it today as well. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any other questions from the committee? Any questions from anybody else that would have any questions? Okay, Rep. Simple. Yes. Rep.
Simple. I just want to say
Lesh.
Thank you to Palmer Lake VFW. You sponsored our team when I was a Pee Wee hockey player, and I still got the jersey. It doesn't fit anymore, but thank you for your sponsorship.
And Rep. Simple Les, any closing remarks?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate your support.
Representative Bliss renews his motion that House File 3477 be re-referred to the Government Operations Committee. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails, and House File 3477 is re-referred to Government Ops. And the next bill is House File 3429, this is my bill, and Vice Chair Bliss will take the gavel, and so I may present my bill.
Thank you.
Chair Detmer, your bill is before us. Please tell us about your bill.
I'm sorry.
Would you like to move your bill before the committee and that it be re-referred to the Taxes Committee?
Yes, I'd like to move my bill. Thank you.
Chair Detmer, your bill is before us. Please tell us about your bill.
Mr. Chair, and can that, is this mic on? Everybody hear it? Okay. House File 3429, I'd like to make a few changes in the current statute. And makes four changes, the Disabled Veterans Homestead Inclusion. First of all, the bill eliminates the eight-year. I don't know if this mic is very good. Is it? Okay. Eliminates the eight-year, and also it allows a one-time sale of property to put the existing property back on the tax rolls, if, as long as the new piece of property is equal or less, and also changes some other things. But it was really brought to my attention by the DAV, Disabled American Veterans, and I have Trent Filks here to really give you a good indication why we're doing this. And I've also met with the counties, and we'll be meeting more with the counties on this whole issue. But I think it's important that we try to get this through. We got part of the bill that I carried last year through last year, but we want to make sure that we keep this on board and keep going forward with it. So, Trent, would you take it from here?
Sure. Trent Dilks, I'm the legislative director for the Disabled American Veterans Department of Minnesota. Here to testify in support of this bill, and I'd like to just recap a little bit of the potential impact that this could have on our veterans and their surviving spouses out there. After last session, I was contacted by a widow out of Moorhead. She's a widow of a Vietnam veteran who had passed away, and we're at about 6.5 years. And at 6.5 years, she's facing the reality that if she hits her 8 years, she cannot afford her home any longer, the family home. It will just price her out. She had to leave work early to become a caretaker for her Vietnam veteran husband. When he passed away, the income for a survivor's benefits cuts it in about half of what it was while the veteran was alive. And even with returning to work after that time off, she would not be able to maintain the family home any longer. For her, this is a serious issue and one that has a sense of urgency. I know we've been working on a lifetime extension for years now, and it really is. I've been in contact. I let her know that this bill we're working on with Representative Detmer was coming up, and hopeful, reservedly hopeful, that maybe this can be the year. This bill also cleans up a little bit of a problem that we've had with this. If on July 2nd a veteran were to get notification that they were 100% total and permanent, July 2nd of 2018, they will have missed the deadline, and they'll have to miss all of 2019, apply in 2019, and gain this benefit in 2020. Because there's a hard deadline on there for veterans, essentially it can mean an 18-month delay in receiving this benefit. This bill would correct that. It wouldn't eliminate the deadline for everybody. It wouldn't cause a massive headache. But for those veterans or those widows that would become eligible for this after the July deadline, it would allow an exception there. This one goes a little bit further, and it's something the Disabled American Veterans, and I know the American Legion, and I will be approaching the remainder of the Commander's Task Force. It creates a transferability, as Representative Detmer had mentioned. This is unique that it makes a benefit for the surviving spouse. We finally have recognized their contribution, just as was pointed out in the lead up to this committee, the contribution that our spouses make, and we'll say, here is a benefit for you. Maybe the family home is no longer maintainable. Maybe it's time to move into town, one of the houses where they shovel the drive for you. And we're hopeful. We've gotten some positive feedback from the counties. I think it has the potential to return large family homes to the tax rolls. And with the equal or lesser value stipulation in there, I think it's beneficial. It also cleans up something. If a veteran were receiving this benefit right now, sold their home, purchased by a non-veteran, that veteran couldn't move their eligibility to their next house. It would stay with the house. So the county misses out on the taxes in that portion as well. So this cleans up that language. It recognizes the contributions of our surviving spouses. I think it adequately acknowledges that they make sacrifices financially, and after the veteran does pass away. I think it's another great step. I know 119 has had a great impact, and this committee had started the ball rolling on that. Widows from all across the state have been added thanks to your work here last year. So I thank you for your time.
Are there any questions for the author or testifier? None. Is there anybody else that would like to testify on this bill? Is there any discussion? Chair Detmer, any closing remarks?
I think we can, as legislators, the more you can get out and meet with your families that are veteran families or families that have men and sons or daughters that are serving, the more you can talk to them, you'll come up with some information like I did with Trent here, that if you really listen, you can pick up on some things and you can really come up with some legislation that really makes a difference in people's lives, in this case, the surviving spouses. So I want your support on this, and we're going to go forward with it. Thank you.
Chair Detmer renews the motion that House File 3429 be re-referred to the Taxes Committee. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails, and House File 3429 is re-referred to Taxes. The next bill on the agenda is House File 3009. Representative Poston, please come to the table with your testifiers, please.
And we know that certain people have to leave because buses are leaving, but we want to thank you again for coming out. Thank you. Thank you. Safe journeys, everybody. Representative Poston, again, would you like to move your bill, the committee, and that be re-referred to the Jobs and Growth Energy Affordable Policy and Finance Committee? That's quite a committee.
So, yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move my bill.
Okay. Please present your bill.
House File 3009 is a bill that appropriates monies for hiring folks that do specialized services for our veterans in independent living situations. It appropriates $590,000 in this year and $590,000 in 2019. And with me today, I have Carla Ruff. She is the Executive Director of Independent Lifestyles and of Camp Bliss. And Carla can explain these targeted services. And I also have three veterans with me today, Christopher Wilson, Carla Trapanier. Hope I'm saying that right. Close? Okay. Tapanier, I'm sorry. And John Schneider. Okay, so with that, we'll let Carla talk to the bill.
Okay.
Carla's our testifier. Hello, I'm Kara Ruff. I'm the Executive Director of Independent Lifestyles located in Stearns County and also the Legislative Liaison for the Minnesota Association of Centers for Independent Living. Centers for Independent Living, there are eight, as you can see on the handout there, that cover the entire state of Minnesota with very large regions to serve. We serve people of all disabilities, physical, cognitive, mental, emotional, chemical, sensory, any type of disability from birth to death. As you know, now is a time where more and more veterans are coming back with some type of disability, whether it's physical or cognitive or chemical or mental, emotional. And in our services, we have found that we are serving increasingly more and more veterans, especially in areas where there happened to be a VA or in the rural areas where there are lack of services. And we found that in Stearns County, we were just serving more and more veterans with disabilities. And so we found the need to dedicate outreach staff who are veterans that can best serve our veterans with disabilities. In Stearns County, we're instrumental in developing the first veterans court and have created Camp Bliss, which is in Walker, Minnesota, to provide much-needed respite and rejuvenation and healing in a natural setting. But throughout Minnesota, you'll find that a very diverse and different and unique services are offered to our veterans, from accessibility that allows them to stay in their homes and live in their homes once they return, to independent living skills and advocacy needed to achieve the skills so that they can remain or achieve independence. As Representative Poston said, this money would be divided equally among the eight centers for independent living in Minnesota so that we could have dedicated veteran services and supports throughout the entire state. And in our research and work with veterans, they have reiterated the need for community-based services such as this that are outside of the government and outside of the VA system. So very honored to be here today and very honored to introduce you to our three veterans who have in some capacity experienced the services of the Center for Independent Living and are here to share their testimony. I'd like to start with Chris.
Okay, welcome. And you might have to speak up because I don't think that mic is working very well. You probably got a strong voice anyway, so go ahead.
Mr. Chair, representatives, my name is Chris Wilson. I am a corporal in the United States Marine Corps. I did about 7.5 years in the military. Most of it was in the Marines, where I did three tours, as well as a little bit of time in the Army. I thought I could use a little bit of a vacation. The state is largely made up of Army. Most of my family is Army. I will always take the shots when I can since I'm outnumbered.
That's all right.
I'm here to talk about Camp Bliss. It has been an instrumental event and tool in my life, not just for me, but also for my wife and the rest of my family. It first entered my life in the fall of 2014. I was struggling with PTSD and using alcohol and tobacco as my coping mechanism. After going through the VA, I was going home, and my wife had heard about a retreat, Camp Bliss, and all I could think of was, great, a bunch of guys sitting around singing Kumbaya and talking about feelings. This is going to be awesome. Luckily for me, it was the furthest thing from it. While, yes, we did talk about feelings as well as our experiences, it brought us all a lot closer to one another. Camp Bliss has been, it's something I look forward to every time I'm able to make it out to one of their events or retreats. It's something that I pass on to any of my friends that are veterans. I think that everyone benefits from it. I've made friends that I've had for many, many years, some of them that work for the organization, some that were just all the other participants at the retreats. We've come across all over the state, even to some people from outside the state that we stay in touch with regularly, and we continue to provide support for one another, including our families. It's actually through Camp Bliss that I met a good family friend that we have now, who introduced us to another vet that happened to be in our area that we're now helping out with their stuff. Without Camp Bliss, I probably wouldn't be here in this environment just because I didn't really like opening up to people and talking about my experiences or just my current situations. I'd like to say thank you again, Kara, for putting on that event. It's monumental. It can change your life. At the very least, it's a moment of quiet in a beautiful area of this state.
Thank you. And again, thank you for your story and for your service. So, and with another speaker, please introduce yourself.
Hello, Mr. Chair. My name is Carla Painter. I am a 20-year retiree in the United States Army. Just saying. I am currently the commander of the American Legion Post in Apple Valley. And I can't say enough about Camp Bliss. My husband actually found Camp Bliss and made me go against my wishes. And I think it was probably the best thing that I ever did. after being in the Army for 20 years as a female, mm-hmm. it was challenging in many ways. And I think Kara really drew that out of me. It was very powerful. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Mm-hmm. My family totally appreciates it. I appreciate it. They have done so much for the veterans, and this would only help everybody that needs it. The VA can't help everybody, as we heard in the news last week. Mm-hmm. I don't want that to happen to anybody else. And if we have more of these organizations that are willing to step up and say, you know what, let us help. We know how to help. Look at the powerful things that we are doing. I think that it would be much better for all veterans in this area. And as the American Legion, I have been sending people to her also. There's I can't praise this organization enough. And I think it would be really good if we could send this forward. Thank you.
And your story also talks about the strong impact that the American Legion, the VFWs, can have on helping people, steering them in the right direction. And, ma'am, thank you for your service. Yes, please introduce yourself for the record.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman. My name is Corporal John Schneider, United States Marine Corps. I'm from post-2001, by the way, the Cache Lake Peanut Post. I'd like to tell you a little story of my life. My memory goes back as far as the mid-1900s. The doctors said at the Minnesota Epilepsy Center that it may not come back at all. And it has stopped, unfortunately, my ability to work and remember the most simplest of tasks, such as reading and writing, and at times remembering my own name. After being honorably discharged from the Marines, I've been through my hardships, dealing with hardships, like everyone else, having to deal with life and having a mental disability as well as PTSD. It isn't easy to bounce back from something such as this. It can make every day a struggle. This isn't what I imagined life to be like for a man who served his country. One day at the peak of my epilepsy and PTSD, I found myself looking around, living out of society in a hunting blind. My basic training had kicked in, realizing this is where I possibly belonged, away from society. Now, you might ask yourself, how can a person lose the basic skills to live in society? Well, a lot of the skills change a lot. Society is in a constant change. And I would always tell myself, remember your training, Corporal. Time and time again, I'd go out seeking for help. And I would stand in these lines, looking around at the faces of people who needed help. And my heart went out to them. And at that point, I made a promise that when I get out of this, I'm going to do my best to help as much as I could. And in these lines, I ran into a lot of closed doors, a lot of endless paperwork. Then it occurred to me, how can a person take a step forward when the system keeps them trapped in this? And then a part of my life I referred to as the phone call I had received one day from Minnesota Center of Independent Living Skills. A gentleman had offered my help. At the time, I was pretty rough and pretty rugged looking.
A lot different than you see now. I was living off of squirrel meat and hunting what I could just to get by. And they welcomed me with open arms. There wasn't a lot of paperwork to fill out. In fact, the first thing they did was they fed me. Okay? And instead of putting a big mountain in front of me to accomplish. See, at this time of my life, there was no orders to follow, which I would honestly have to say the military was one of the easiest things I had to go through in my life. You just did as you told them. It was very simple. We slowly, step by step, broke this down into a mixture of friendly conversation and help, and the goals that I needed to achieve next to become successful. Through the system, just to ensure that I'm not sent back to it. And what I had accomplished that day was something that I could not have accomplished on my own. A week later, I had the keys to my own apartment. This had me and my son, our relationship had gotten even stronger and better. How could he live with his father out in a hunting blind? After we had gotten through this, a lot of support and a lot of advocating for me, which I really wish he was down here talking for me now. Yeah, very nervous. Me and my son are back together, and next month you'll be looking at a college graduate. And now that they do not offer a handout, what they offer is a hand up and a chance to get back on your feet again. And that's where I'm at today.
Thank you. Thank you all for your story and sharing that with us. We have some questions. Representative Rosenthal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Poston, thank you for bringing this bill forward. Thank you to all the testifiers for your sacrifices, and I think it's a really, really strong bill. But I know it's going to finance, and I noticed that the appropriation was open-ended, and I'm just thinking you might want to put a year in there somewhere, because typically we don't do that, whether it be 2019 or at the end of the next biennium, 2021. Me, I don't care, but you might run into some trouble in the next committee.
Thank you. I think we're talking line 1.6. There's 590,000 for the year 2018 and 590 for 2019. So, Representative Makeway. Representative Rosenthal, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, I stand corrected.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. Representative Bliss was next, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I had the opportunity to meet Corporal Schneider in my office a couple of weeks back, and he made a big impression on me with the progress he's made, and I applaud you for being such an outstanding ambassador for the Center for Independence Living. And to the other testifiers, thank you so very much for your service. And I am so happy that there's a place like Camp Bliss, and I am slightly partial to that name. It does cause quite a bit of confusion up in my neck of the woods, because I also have a resort with the Bliss name in it that was formerly named Camp Pennington, and now I changed it to something different. So there is a little bit of confusion, but I do appreciate it, I have looked at your website and done a little research, and I do applaud you for what you do. And thank you very much, Representative Poston, for bringing this bill forward.
And make way.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Carla, I want to thank you so much for being such a great resource to me. Post 1776 is the best post in Minnesota, I have to say. And thank you for your testimony, and I'd love to continue to work with you to maybe see some of this. And Representative Poston, I love your bill. I think what Representative Rosenthal might be getting to, I sit on the committee that this will come to next, and I think our fiscal year ends shortly after session ends this year, and it might be hard for Dee to appropriate that money that quickly. We can deal with that in the Finance Committee, but I think that might be the trouble.
Representative Rosenthal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Poston, again. But on line 1.10, it does say fiscal year 2018 is available until spent. So I just want to, again, this is a great bill. Just know what's coming before you next.
Are there any people that would like to testify from the audience? Any others? Representative Fisher. No. Okay, anybody else? Okay. Representative Bliss, or excuse me, Poston, would you, any final remarks?
Just a couple of things, Mr. Chair. First, I'd like to thank Cara for the work that you do, and I got your name right that time. And I'd like to thank Christopher, Carla, and John for their testimony. And I would really appreciate everyone's support on this bill. And to all the veterans in the room, I'd just like to say God bless you all and thank you all for your service.
Yeah. Thank you. And Mrs. Roberts, could you clarify the funding situation for this bill? I apologize for waiting so long on this, but it was brought to our attention by Representative Rosenthal.
Mr. Chair and members, again on line 1.10, the language specifies that the appropriation in fiscal year 2018 is available until spent. And I'm assuming that language was added because of the issue with the close of the fiscal year being so close to the end of session. I would agree that the general practice is not to have appropriations available without an end date. We usually try to choose a date that's a year or two out, and I can talk to the author and work with the fiscal analyst for the next committee to clarify that.
Thank you, Mrs. Roberts.
Mr. Chair? Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I apologize for coming in late, but it says it's coming from deed, so it's a general appropriation going through deed. And is it going to Staff and Jobs and Energy that has the jurisdiction for deed?
It is. Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Representative Poston renews his motion that the House File 3009 be referred to Jobs, Growth, and Energy Affordability Policy and Finance Committee. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails, and House File 3009 is referred to Jobs. For the next item on the agenda, it's kind of a special presentation by the American Legion on their upcoming 100th birthday anniversary celebration. Presenting for the American Legion are Mike Schaefer, Deputy Commander, American Legion of Minnesota, and Peggy Moon, Legislative Director of the American Legion of Minnesota. This is the last item on our agenda, second to the last, I'm sorry. So please welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much, Chair Detmer. And like I said, my name is Peggy Moon. I am the legislative director for the American Legion State of Minnesota. And with me is Mike Schaefer, who was our department commander for the state of Minnesota, something I did a couple years ago. And I know how hard he's working now. We are really excited about this year. We've got a lot to celebrate. And I want to give you a little history first before we tell you about the summer. In November of 1918, World War I ended, and hundreds of thousands of American soldiers, sailors, and Marines began to come home to their communities and back to their families. This process would take months. Like the Civil War veterans before them, who founded the Grand Army of the Republic, These veterans wanted an organization that would allow them to continue their service to America and strengthen our nation for a better future. A meeting was held in Paris while they were all waiting to come home to start this planning. And after they arrived home, another meeting was held in St. Louis, Missouri. What was on their minds? First and foremost, they wanted to take care of the needs of the many veterans who came home wounded, poisoned, shell-shocked, or denied college or career advancement due to their wartime service. At that time, there was no VA. There was no Veterans Preference Hiring Act. There was no GI Bill. If you were a lumberjack as a civilian, but you lost an arm in a trench in France, you had to figure out on your own what your next line of work was going to be. There was nobody to help you. Post-traumatic stress disorder? That diagnosis wasn't going to come for decades. Basically, when you got out, you got $60, you got a train ticket and a uniform to wear home. That was it. Goodbye. If you disagreed with the characterization of your discharge, tough luck. There was no one to help you. So in the days around Armistice Day in 1919, thousands of delegates from around the country gathered right here in Minneapolis to conduct the very first convention of the American Legion. In the following years, the American Legion established itself as a positive and energetic force in the United States. Nationally, the Legion helped develop the Veterans Bureau, which would eventually become the Department of Veterans Affairs. And they helped establish a series of hospitals across the nation that not only served veterans, but their widows and orphans. In the days following World War II, the American Legion wrote and convinced Congress to pass the Veterans Adjustment Act, known as the GI Bill. It has been called the single most important piece of legislation passed by Congress in the 20th century. Nationally and in Minnesota, the American Legion has established dozens of programs that supports our veterans, supports our communities, and supports our youth. Think about American Legion baseball. Thousands of professional baseball players got their start in American Legion baseball, but there are now 77 professional baseball players who started in American Legion baseball that have been inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. Let me read you some of these names and see if they don't sound a little familiar to you. Johnny Bench, Ted Williams, Jim Palmer, Stan Musial, Roy Campanella, Yogi Berra, Reggie Jackson, Burt Blyleven, Frank Robinson, Joe Torre, Sparky Anderson, Harmon Killebrew, Don Drysdale, Dave Winfield, Pee Wee Reese, Jack Morris, Catfish Hunter, and Paul Molitor. These are just the ones in Cooperstown. Just think of all, at one time, it was close to 80% of our professional ball players got their start in American Legion baseball. Traditionally, Minnesota has the largest Legion baseball program in the nation with over 6,000 boys participating each year. 6,000. Boys and Girls State. Obviously, Girls State's run by our auxiliary, but they're two of the best government programs for high schoolers, allowing them to learn about democracy by establishing their own city, county, and state governments. Again, if you will look through our history and want to see the caliber of the people that attend Boys State throughout this nation, let me read you some of these names. You'll be surprised. Bill Clinton, it was in Boys State, so we started with Arkansas. Mike Huckabee, General Wesley Clark, Beau Biden, Sam Nunn, Lou Dobbs, Roger Ebert, James Carville, Michael Dukakis, Trent Lott, Scott Bakula, Rush Limbaugh, Jim Ramstead, Michael Jordan, Samuel Alito, John Bon Jovi, James Gandolfini, Bruce Springsteen, Tom Brokaw, Neil Armstrong, Al Jarreau, and Richard Cheney. And the list goes on and on and on, but it gives you some idea of people that attended Boys State throughout the United States. We also have Legionville. Many of you hopefully have been there, which we is co-sponsored by the Minnesota State Patrol, and it offers a full-service camp that teaches hundreds of grade schoolers about school safety patrol, bus safety, basic first aid, and Americanism. A couple of years ago, there was an article on the evening news, and I think it was a fifth grader, and she was having dinner with her family at a local establishment. And at one point during the dinner, her grandmother started choking. And this fifth grader got up from her chair and did the Heimlich procedure on her, and consequently pretty much saving her life. And, of course, people in the restaurant started talking, and before you knew it, the news media was called. And the journalist, after interviewing, said, "You're so young. How did you learn how to do this?" And she said, "I learned it at Legionville." You can't buy that kind of advertising anywhere you go. We were really proud of that little girl and glad of the work that she learned while she stayed with us at camp. The Minnesota Legion has also created two funds at the University of Minnesota. One, in conjunction with the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, establishes a chair in brain sciences that has done cutting-edge work on such disorders as PTSD, Parkinson's, and alcoholism. The fund has also created two university chairs for scientists seeking cures for children's diseases. And our American Legion Riders, our motorcycle group, they have raised $200,000 last year alone for educational grants for the children of post-9/11 heroes who died serving their country. This is called our American Legion Legacy Fund. And our American Legion Child Welfare Foundation, in which I serve as vice president on the board of directors, we award up to $700,000 per year in grants to other nonprofit organizations who do great work to help our children of our country. So the American Legion, both nationally and statewide, has continued to serve America over a span that has now reached 99 years. This summer, in late August, the American Legion will once again return to Minneapolis to conduct its 100th annual national convention, just a few blocks from the very first place where we started. Thousands of Legionnaires, auxiliary members, Sons of the American Legion, family and guests will come to Minneapolis to celebrate a century of service. The Department of Minnesota will be the official host, and much has been planned to greet the delegates and our guests. In fact, each delegate will receive a metal replica of the very first convention badge that was issued. We're going to have World War I reenactors that will greet people at the convention center, and displays will be at the center to tell people about Minnesota's Legion history, including the story of George Washington Bentley from Montgomery, Minnesota, who was the last living founder of the American Legion. He was one of those guys that first met in France. The annual parade will once again be held down the Nicollet Avenue, the same street where the first parade was held in 1919. We've already got over a dozen of Minnesota's best high school bands that are going to join us, and the Minnesota delegation is hoping to have over 1,000 masked flags as we march down the mall. I can't think of a more beautiful sight. A century is a long time. The Minnesota American Legion family, well, we're over 100,000 strong, and we carry on a proud tradition of service to families, veterans, communities, and youth. It's a history that still amazes me and fills me with pride, and I think our founders, those doughboys from World War I, would probably be just as amazed, because let's realize, they thought they had just fought the war to end all wars. The fact that we're still here 100 years later would just, I think, send them into a spin. And yet, here we are, because as we know, we're still fighting and we're still serving. And there's one other fact that continues to surprise me and amaze me. When the Legion first started 100 years ago, They decided a veteran is a veteran is a veteran. It didn't matter if you were a female or male. It didn't matter if you were black and white. It doesn't matter if you're an officer or a non-com. It didn't matter if you served in country or not. A veteran is a veteran is a veteran. And you all get one vote. Do you realize as a woman, I still wasn't allowed to vote in this country yet. But the American Legion was accepting me as a peer. I think it just gives me goosebumps to think about it. As you can tell, I'm pretty proud of this organization. I've had put in your packets placemats that we are passing on to all of our 545 posts just in the state of Minnesota that gives you information about our organization and our history. These were designed by Al Sedan, who is our communications director for our department. So I have that for you in case you want to learn more about us. We ask you to join with us in celebrating our first century of service, and we ask for your continued support as we start our next century of service for God and country. Thank you very much for listening.
Director Moon, thank you so much. And I know you attend a lot of our committee meetings and our the military action group meeting. Just thank you for what you do and as being our director.
Commander, did you have anything Commander, you wanted to add?
Commander?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. About all I can really add to what my chairman has stated already is in the course of my year as commander, I've been to Indianapolis twice and now just recently returned from Washington, D.C., where we had our legislative congress with conference with our national representatives. And in every place that I have gone and visited with other states, they are so looking forward to coming to Minnesota. I hear nothing but positive, and I think we're going to have one awfully big crowd. And yes, as Peggy mentioned about asking for the 1,000 flags, that was me. I wrote it in my very first commander's column, and I said, I want to see American flags 4 blocks long walking down Nicollet Mall. By God, I tell you what, I think we just might going to reach it. Because in my travels around the state of Minnesota, I was up at Fergus Falls recently, and we know how that's a good three and a half hours from here. And they are fired up. Mm-hmm. So if somebody that far away is ready, what's the rest of the state of Minnesota going to do?
Well, Commander and Director, if you could just stay after for a couple of minutes, I'd like to talk to you, and I think we'd like to put together a House resolution for the 100th anniversary of the American Legion. So,
absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Chair. We'll be glad to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any other questions? Again, thank you. Our last but not least item is an update on the United Veterans Legislative Council and by Mr. Jerry Kaiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm kind of a usual subject here, suspect, I guess you would call me. But talk of a little bit, just a cursory understanding of what the United Veterans Legislative Council was. Actually, it was started by Al Lohr, who was the Commissioner of Veteran Affairs in 1965 and the American Legion Commander, Wilson, at that particular time, so they would have a legislative entity that would be able to encompass many more organizations other than the American Legion. And so far, the UVLC has over 30 organizations, some of which belong to the Commander's Task Force, and many of the smaller ones of all the different organizations. It's a consortium of veteran, military, and auxiliary organizations to exchange information and support the issues relating to their legislation, entitlements. There's a 500,000 of veterans and their families that we petition for and get initiatives to of National Guard, reservists, and their dependents. So far, we have been with the the Commander's Task Force and the County Veteran Service Officers, we put together this combination program here that we had Veterans Day on the Hill, which we started with Commissioner Shelletill, I think it was about 8 years ago, maybe before that, that we started having Veterans Day on the Hill because everybody else had a rally day. Why can't we have one up here? And that makes a big difference, I think, today. If you were there, it was wonderful. It was I was honored to be the MC, and Representative Detmer and many of the other legislators are involved with it. We appreciate your efforts. I've been involved with it in the leadership of it since 2002 as either a participant or a vice chairman or a chairman over the years, and it's an honor for me to do this and talk to you about the different entities. All the ones that are on this sheet today that you have sure picked up, we're going to be pushing it for it. As far as we get a lot of our ideas from veterans organizations, and then I work with Representative Detmer and Senator Anderson, our military action group, and two of them on there for the military jobs credit. We're looking to get a state of Minnesota jobs credit for hiring disabled and unemployed and changing job veterans to the total of maximum credit of $3,000. I think the federal one for hiring a disabled veteran is much more than that. The only other thing that we have on this that I could talk about would be the we're supporting the funding of the Fort Stilling Capital Investment for their $46 million, the 200th anniversary of Fort Stilling. I have to give credit to the Department of Veteran Affairs and the way that they helped us make sure we had a great job today at this Veterans Day on the Hill, and the DAF. DAV helping put all the buses together and getting all the veterans down here. I appreciate the opportunity to just tell you a little bit about us, and thank you for your time, Commissioner and members.
Thank you, Mr. Kaiser. Any questions from the yes, Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I noticed one of the things you had on here was the expansion to access to veterans courts, and I am very happy to say that I passed a bill, not this session, but the last biennium, to allow specialty courts, which is they're encompassed in specialty courts across the entire state because it was contained in just a few jurisdictions. And if you wouldn't mind, if you could tell me where the concentration of veterans are, where they would be, where a veterans court would be most reasonable or most helpful, that would be helpful to me because I have a lot of contact with the courts and can kind of push that in a direction to make that happen if you just want to let me know where you think it would be the most effective.
Mr. Kaiser.
Representative Detmer.
O'Neill.
O'Neill. Actually, we've been working with Washington County, Hennepin County, Ramsey County. The metro counties have done an excellent job with that. Obviously, outstate is another thing. There's money and power to do that. Duluth, I just talked to some folks about that up there. And then in the Fargo-Moorhead area, it's really up to that county commissioners and those judges that have to put together some of that initiatives. And the working with them, we're just ready to support them in any manner that we can.
Okay.
Does that give you an answer, or is that just
Representative O'Neill?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, that's great. It is at the local level. We did have to pass something here at the state to allow it to expand across all of the jurisdictions, so I'm glad to hear that it's expanding even more. And I know that there's some hybrids. They're talking about doing some hybrids, so it's not just specifically Veterans Court, but maybe it's more encompassing specialty court, and hopefully that will help in the more rural areas because I know that's a tough place to do a specific type of court, and they try to be a little bit more broad.
Yes,
Mr. Kaiser.
Representative O'Neill, the prosecutor has to be a veteran, the judge has to be a veteran, the defense has to be a veteran, and then they have to make an adjustment in this, not in a capital crime, but other events that are not that serious, that way that veteran's not going to be incarcerated. He's on probation, but the VA is picking up the emotional part to try to solve that. the rapidity of them breaking off that Veterans Court is pretty small. And so that's what the problem is. Instead of having this man or woman having that on his resume saying that he's been incarcerated for what he did, and the post-traumatic stress is a big deal, and other issues also, drug overdoses, and we've talked about this many times.
Okay.
Thank you for your interest.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, just real quickly, if you look at the entire court system from arrest forward, about 85 or 90% of those that are involved in our court system have a chemical dependency. About 60% have some sort of mental health issue. Between 11 and 15% are SVMI, which is serious and persistently mentally ill. So we have, it's not the courts of yesteryear, it's the courts of today, and that's sort of where we are now. So I really hope we can reach out more to our veterans, and I'll do what I can on the two committees I serve on that kind of push in that direction. It's good to hear that again, that that's a continued need, especially in greater Minnesota. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And just you mentioned, Mr. Kaiser, about the military veterans job tax credit. I know Mr. Frankie's bill, it's in the tax committees of both the House and the Senate. So that's where that's sitting right now. And members, it's been a great day so far. We still have a part of the day ahead of us. And thank you for being part of this committee. And I would like to just say every day is a Veterans Day. We are adjourned.